Good morning. Welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today, Wednesday podcast on the 6th of November, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller, along with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Learn more at ffbt.com. Coming up in the news, an ag economy barometer update that looks a little better, and bird flu moves into a small backyard pig in Oregon. Ryan says gradual clearing skies and rain moving out today. And yesterday, grains and oil seeds, a higher day in somewhat muted election day trade. We'll have the numbers and Arlen Suderman market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at FFBT.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualifying attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save 10%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
How farmers feel about the ag economy and the bird flu now found in a pig. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Each month, Purdue's ag economists survey 400 farmers across the U.S., asking how they feel about the future of the ag economy. CJ Miller reports how this month's results came as a surprise for those who conducted the survey.
One of the things that I think might be going on here is people are a little more optimistic about 25 than they are 24.
And that's Dr. Michael Langemeyer, Associate Director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. For their monthly Purdue Ag Economy Barometer survey, just 23% of producers expect their farm's financial condition to get worse over the next 12 months. And that's a sharply lower response this month compared to last month's response of 38% who were expecting their farm finances to get worse in 2025.
I have to admit, the people that responded to this survey this month are seeing something different than I'm seeing because I'm not as optimistic. I'm not pessimistic, but I'm not as optimistic.
Langemeyer says that's because input prices remain on the higher side, while grain prices continue to be on the lower side.
They kind of view the downturn that we've seen here in 2024 as being transitory and actually think maybe we're going to have see kind of a rebound of sorts in 2025.
And that's Dr. Jim Mintert, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture.
Again, a surprisingly optimistic survey this month, and they were consistent across the board. I mean, the one thing that might have influenced this a little bit was the fact that we have heard so many very positive yield reports this fall. And that would maybe provide a little bit of a boost, I suppose.
You can find the full results of the Purdue Ag Economy Barometer Survey at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
USDA recently confirmed the first case of H5N1 bird flu in a pig. Dr. Megan Niederwerder, executive director of the Swine Health Information Center, says after the virus jumped from poultry to the beef herd, they knew there was a possibility of it moving into pork as well.
Well, we certainly knew it was a risk. And I think one of the aspects of this introduction and first detection in swine is really thinking about what type of herd it was detected in and the fact that animals of different species were housed together. So this was a backyard small farm operation in Oregon that had mixed species that were housed together. They shared water sources and shared equipment across poultry, swine, sheep, and goats.
The pigs were tested after the poultry began showing clinical signs of infection.
The impetus of the investigation was the poultry had clinical signs on the farm. They had 70 birds on the farm. They were showing clinical signs of illness. They were tested for highly pathogenic avian influenza and found positive. They tested the animals on site out of an abundance of caution. The swine on site were not clinical. They displayed no clinical signs, but one of those pigs, there were five pigs on site, one of them was positive for the virus, and they euthanized those hogs to perform additional diagnostic analysis because this was the first detection in any hog.
With this development, biosecurity must be top of mind for all producers, no matter where they're located.
What are the biosecurity risks? How can we prevent exposure to wild birds? But also think about operational connections to poultry and dairy farms, reducing the risks of feral swine exposure and protecting the health of our U.S. swine industry.
For more information, you should visit swinehealth.org. There's a link on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We are going to be dealing with moisture lingering in southern Indiana through the first part of the day today, but already on our way to trying to clear in the north. The frontal boundary made it through the state overnight last night, with the exception of far southern and southeastern Indiana, where the front still lingers near the Ohio River. It'll push off to the south and east probably by midday today. I do look for a gradual clearing from northwest to southeast through the state for your Wednesday. You may not get rid of the clouds completely until closer to sunset. We'll just have to see how this afternoon goes. But we are still looking at high pressure dominating for the rest of this week. Your Thursday, your Friday, and your Saturday will feature high pressure right nearby. Good sunshine, great evaporation, fast drying, a beautiful setup with temperatures still above normal for this time of year. I cannot stress to you how crazy it is to see some of these temperatures lingering into the middle part of November. I'm also here to tell you, pay attention to this forecast near the end because all of that changes. But warm and dry for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, while a major weather system is getting going in the central and southern plains again. They're going to be seeing sloppy wet snowflakes in western Kansas, eastern Colorado here later today into tomorrow. But in any case, we're dry here through the weekend. Sunday, that system in the central and southern plains, the remains of it gets to us. I think we have to deal with some hit and miss scattered showers. I'm going to say 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch max. I definitely think we're in the lower half of that range, but we're looking at coverage at around 75% of the Hoosier state. We are drying down then to start next week, Monday and Tuesday, before another weather system shows up Tuesday night into Wednesday. This is the weather system that is interesting to me because it's a frontal boundary coming through, and I think 1/2 inch or less is what we're going to be seeing on the liquid side. But behind the front, significantly colder air here. And it's not just a flash in the pan, hey, we're chilly, and then warming back up in a day or two. No, it's a cold air surge, cold Canadian high pressure that's coming in across a majority of the country for next Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The cold air dives all the way down to the I-40 corridor initially in the Great Plains. And you know what? As we move through the overnight Friday night into early Saturday morning, some of this cold air can make it all the way down to I-10 or near the Gulf Coast. So it's an impressive surge of cold air. It kind of reshuffles things here a little bit. Now, is it colder than normal? potentially just a little bit, but I think it's even near normal going to feel significantly colder based on where we have been recently. Good news is we get on the backside of this cold Canadian high pressure dome and we see temperatures warm up, but I don't think the bounce back is not as snappy as what we would like to see. Yes, there's some warm air out there for the following week. Going through the weekend of the 16th and 17th, I think we start off the 18th with some warmer air, but it's not like what we're dealing with right now. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Close to even much of the day, but a higher close. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review, and I'll have final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. I secured that near the end of the session from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. Arlen, back and forth in the grains and oil seeds, mostly higher through the session, but also near steady in many cases. It seemed to have a feel of an election day market, and also a market leading up to a USDA report, which is what we have on Friday. So a little bit of uncertainty or positioning. Is that kind of the sense you get?
Yeah, I saw kind of a general sense of buying of the commodities in the first part of the day, as well as the buying of the equities. It seemed to be somewhat of an election buy as money flowed into those commodities. Weaker dollar was certainly a factor supporting the grain and oil seeds in the crude oil market as well. Crude oil also getting a bump from a tropical storm heading into the Gulf of Mexico. But then as we got closer to the end of the trading session, it was kind of like, let's even our positions. And we saw the strength in the commodities kind of back off. That included the energy markets, that included the grain and oil seeds. Still finishing the day decently, so to speak. I don't see this market necessarily going anywhere ahead of Friday's USDA report, though. Traders want to see the fundamentals before they really make any commitments one way or the other.
Soybeans seemed to lead the way on Tuesday, but certainly didn't get a bump from the complex as a whole, with meal and oil down. So why lower in those two?
Well, when you look at the soybean complex as a whole, we're well supplied. And we did find some buying as the January contract approached the August lows. That makes sense that end users would start to see some opportunity to extend coverage at those levels, and speculators would take some profits on the ride down. But when you look at the product prices, first oil, it had quite a ride and some profit taking there ahead of potential volatility that might be post-election. And frankly, with the meal and oil, with a number of plants shutting down that make our biofuels, we're probably going to, and the new crush facilities that we have that are operating, we're probably going to see a little bit of a backup in supply. And crush margins are probably going to be pulling back. So I don't think we really have a story to sustain any strength in the soy complex right now.
What about a story coming out of USDA supply and demand update on Friday? That November report, can it create volatility, major moves? And what are your expectations about numbers we might see?
Yeah, it can be. It can create volatility if you get some surprises in it. Right now, I'm not expecting any, but I guess that's what makes them surprises. Most of the crops are harvested, so the market's going to anticipate that USDA's yield estimates are going to be pretty close to final, although we won't have final until USDA does their December 1 stocks report. The general sense is maybe we trim back the corn and soybeans a little bit. Our StoneX customer survey that was released yesterday put the corn crop at 183.7 bushels per acre, soybeans at 52.6. So that's about a half bushel below USDA on the soybeans, just slightly below on corn. May see Argentina drop corn production 1 to 2 million metric tons, increase soybeans by a similar number because of acreage shifts there, but otherwise no major shifts across the balance sheets are expected.
Arlen Suderman, StoneX and StoneX.com. Now the Tuesday settlements up 2 cents on December and the March corn contract as well. Dece 418.5, March goes to 432, May up 1.75 at 439. Over in beans, Jan 10.01¾, 4.5 cents higher. March up 3, 10.14¾, 10.30½ on the May, up 2.25. And December wheat finishes at 572.5, up 3¾. The meats were mostly lower, very quiet in cattle futures. December, 184.77, down 30, up 2 cents on February, 185.95. December lean hogs down $2.10, 81.12. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.